Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you can all hear me okay. Welcome to the Corporate Parenting Committee formal version. Before we begin, let me remind you of a few housekeeping rules. A reminder, if one is needed, that the facilities are located at the back through the main doors on this floor. If there's a fire alarm, a continuous sound, please leave the building by the nearest fire exit and make your way to the Cathedral Concourse. If the alarm is an intermittent sound, this indicates a lockdown and attendees should stay in their seats and await further instruction. Before we start the meeting, may I remind everyone that this is a meeting held in public and that the audio recording may be made available on the website in due course. Will you please, therefore, speak clearly into your microphones when called upon to do so? Let's start, please, by asking everyone to introduce themselves. Karen, can I start with you? Give John a chance to sit down.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. I'm Karen Dunleavy, Democratic Services Officer.
That's right. Good evening, colleagues. John Gregg, Executive Director for Children and Young People Services.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Berry, Acting Head of Service for Corporate Parenting.
Hello, Shalina Chandu, Quality Assurance Lead for Participation and Independent Visiting.
Hello, I'm Sue King, Fostering Service Manager. I'm here with the foster carer, who's Glenn, but he's not here yet. So hopefully he'll be turning up soon. I'm sure he's doing foster carer things. So.
Hi, I'm Tess Bilson. I'm the Team Manager for the Children and Care Health Team in CPFT.
Evening, Lucy Brunson, Service Manager for Community Paediatrics and Children in Care in Peterborough.
I'm Mona Aslam, I'm Designated Doctor for Children in Care.
Hi, my name is Mohammed Sabir. I'm a Councillor for Park Ward. I'm covering Councillor Noreen.
I'm Councillor Sandra Bond and I'm a Councillor in the Gunthorpe Ward.
I'm Councillor Jade Seeger and I'm a Councillor in Fletton and Stangram Ward.
Good evening, I'm Councillor John Howard. I'm a councillor in Hampton, Hargate and Hempstead and Cabinet Member for Corporate Governance and Finance, and lots of fun things like that.
Hello, David Over, Park Councillor for Barnack.
Hello, Councillor Katie Cole for Dogsthorpe.
Evening, Jackie Allen, Councillor in East Ward.
Good evening, I'm Ray Bisby. I'm Councillor for Stangrand South and also the Cabinet Member for Children's Services.
And good evening, everyone. Dennis, I'm the Chair of the Corporate Parenting Committee and a councillor in Dogsthorpe. Right, Glenn, do you just want to introduce yourself? Nice to see you.
Apologies for being late, just a bit of traffic. Glenn Crossland, Foster Carer and Vice Chair of the Peterborough Foster Carers Committee.
Thank you, Glenn. Item one, apologies for absence. Karen, do we have any apologies for absence, please?
Thank you, Chair. We do have apologies from Councillor Nawaz and Sainsbury and B. And Councillor Sabir is here as substitute for Councillor B.
Thank you. Welcome, Sabir. Declarations of interest. Does any member wish to declare any disclosable pecuniary interest or non-statutory disclosable interest? Try saying that on a tube of wine gums. I'm sure the answer is no, isn't it? Thank you. Right. Item three, minutes of the meeting held on the 22nd of November 2023. Members are asked to approve the minutes of the meeting held on that date. May I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Cole proposing. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Allen. Thank you very much indeed. That's very kind. Item four. Your timing is perfect. Glenn, update. Can I ask Glenn to present the Foster Carer Committee report, please?
Thank you. I'll catch my breath. Okay, so very busy time over Christmas, as you can imagine. Lots going on for the children and within service, of course. I'll jump to the many things that the children have been doing. Obviously, we had all the Christmas activities of pantomimes, the actual party before Christmas, which thankfully, unfortunately, I couldn't make it, but some members of the committee did, and thank you for all of that. It really does make a difference to the children. So much going on now. The committee's reconvened. We've had our AGM. I'm back, so I got voted back in. The teams got voted back in. We have new places for health and well-being of our own foster carers, which is very important, of course. And going from strength to strength, we're getting more involved with the service, and we're being welcomed into those areas. Still areas that we do have problem with are things like transport, which comes up, I know, regular, but it does continue. And I even had one of those on Friday night where transport didn't turn up, but we did get sorted. Male foster carers group, a support group, I help with this, and we had our first face-to-face meeting. We had a number of people turn up. It is linked still with Cambridgeshire. So some people travelled for nearly an hour to come and meet up and have a chat. So it was really good to know that people are doing these kind of things and still want this service as well. I'm going to let Sue do the decoupling bit, if that's okay.
So yeah, there was just an update in terms of the decoupling from Cambridgeshire. Another important date happened on the 8th of January. All of the line management changes were in place. So Peterborough staff are now being managed by Peterborough managers. The additional posts that have been identified in the structure have all been progressed in terms of recruitment. They're being filled sort of, on an ongoing basis. We're about there. There's a little bit of a hitch in terms of recruitment of social workers, but we've got agency workers in post whilst we're still recruiting. Lots of exciting things happening. I don't know if people will be aware about the government initiative for recruitment and retention of foster carers. And we're one of 11 councils in the Eastern Region, which are a pathway project, where we'll be part of a regional hub in terms of recruiting foster carers. And we'll also have a specialist hub, which is evidence bases that helps with retention, but also stability of children being and remaining in foster homes, which is called the Mockingbird. So I've put a link in there because there's lots of information around that. We've been introduced to our coach from the fostering network, and we've started the really, really interesting, exciting work around that project. So that's the service updates.
There was one other outstanding one, and that was just after Christmas, there was a payments issue for foster carers, and that left people without money for a short period of time, which was very difficult for some, especially single carers who only have one child in place and they rely on that money. Luckily, it did get sorted out reasonably quickly, and there were some emergency payments for those who needed it. But it was a problem.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if there's any comments or questions from members, after each agenda item, if you put your hand up, I'll come to you in turn, and then I'll ask you to speak at that time. So questions and comments from members, please. So Councillor Allen, then Councillor Bisby, and Councillor Cole. We'll go in alphabetical order, shall we?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So I looked at the Mockingbird slideshow, and obviously from where we have been to where it looks like we're going, this is quite significant. And it says it's under license, and I was interested at some of the words that we used. I think it says constellation. The children have often said there are big words. Is this a word that is a government word, or is it a word that could perhaps be more user-friendly? Because I just think children will think, even I had to look up to see what would be nicer words in the nurturing side of it. And I think the idea is great. And I'm also not clear, is from the constellation, if these are all existing foster carers, or it suggests that these, you know, these additional support network might be like an aunt or a grandparent, might they be just people that might think of going into full-time foster care but are actually seeing if it's for them? What, can you just give me some more background into it, please?
There's a lot of questions there, weren't there? Which I appreciate. You know, it's quite a different idea, isn't it? But there are lots of councils that are currently using it. So some, such as Leeds, you know, they have 10 constellations. And then Hertfordshire, they have 8. It's well established. It actually came from Seattle. I won't go into loads of detail, but it's a very evidence-based approach. So, yeah, I take your point that some of the terminology might seem strange, but it's a licensed product. So I think we might need to think about what we refer to those. It's also called a hub. I think people can relate to that. A hub home, I think, is what other people refer to it as. So. And then your question, so usually they are existing foster carers.
Okay. Can I just follow up, sorry. Is it in this report that we talk about going to a regional foster provision? Is it in this report, the regional? And again, it's quite significant, so I guess it's early days with that, but just wondering, we've decoupled from Cambridge. I'm just wondering how this is going to work, particularly within the corporate parenting platform. Anyone?
Thank you, Councillor Allen. I think interesting and timely question, given the arrangements we've just made with Cambridge here in terms of the separation and the leadership of our own individual services. If you think of the first point of contact that a member of the public makes with the fostering service as being the front door, if you like, then you might think of the regional hub as the porch to that front door. So the government are, through their response to the stable homes review and their response to that, developing regional care cooperatives, and alongside that there is a view that there's an economy of scale or an efficiency to be had around developing a regional approach to the recruitment of foster carers. And I think in terms of the thinking of it as a porch, then I think there's some added value to that. So, for example, that will mean that you'd be able to make contact with somebody who would be able to talk to you about fostering up until 8 o'clock at night. There would be signposting then to the local authority's own fostering team. So effectively, it's another avenue. But none of that stops Peterborough people speaking directly to Peterborough Children's Services and making inquiry about fostering, you know, in the city for Peterborough children. But I think it does add value. And, you know, my experience of these things, although it might not be completely consistent with the direction of travel we wanted to take the service in, it's certainly better to be in the partnership and benefiting from the regional resource rather than be the only, you know, local authority in the region that's not participating in that. Alongside that, there's a longer piece of work that's looking at what a regional care cooperative might look like and how that would operate, and that's in direct response to what was said in the care review about the sufficiency of placements. And we know from our own experience recently that we still have an issue with sufficiency of placements locally.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Councillor Allen. The minute I hear cooperative, I get old, my gold misty-eyed. The other side of the coin is, unlike you, I think constellation is a lovely word, but I couldn't quite get the setting of it. I take that point on board entirely. Councillor Bisbee.
Yeah, something I wasn't going to talk about, but when you say that it's open now and it could be open till 8 o'clock at night, when you think about people at work, then coming back, it gives them more time to actually make that contact. So for me, that's a brilliant idea. But my question was actually to yourself about the payments. Is that something that's happening on a regular basis, or was it just a one-off that it was a? And do we know why it happened? Did you find out?
It was definitely a one-off. I've never seen. We haven't had this before, thankfully. We just know that there was an error on the system. We don't know any more details.
Technology, then.
Yeah,
can I just ask another thing? I'm going to ask Shalina to do this as well. Could you ask all the foster carers to ask the children to actually, when they go to school, there's a chance for them to vote for our local MPs? I think it's a really good chance for them to get involved and be able to make something of an impact. So it's a good chance for them.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Definitely pass this on.
Thank you. Councillor Cole.
Hello, thank you. It was more to do with 4.10 on your report about the training provided for prospective foster carers. Recently I took part in some diversity, inclusion and equality training with the virtual school, and it was really, really good and worthwhile. And as it says here, that the foster care training program to student social workers and training resources and professionals, as you're getting an increasingly varied group of children using the foster care service, I didn't know whether that would be something that you could contact Zoe about, trying to organise that training for foster carers, because I think it would be really, really worthwhile based on the variety and type of children that are coming into the service.
Shall I come in there? I can't find it actually.
I'm on page 17 of your report, 4.10.
I think ours goes up to 14. Yeah. Ours is numbered differently. That makes sense.
Well done, Katie, you threw us open.
But no, it's the foster care's, because it talks about foster care and training.
Okay.
So I just thought that might be something you might not want to do, but actually it was really worthwhile, and I found it very worthwhile, and it would certainly, I think, provide a support to foster carers who are dealing with children coming in with a range of...
Can we leave that till the next report? Is that okay? So, in the next report. Just, I've got another question from Councillor
Rovers,
so I'd like to come in
there.
David. Thanks, Chair. Just a question. Are we going to review the working of the hub annually, or at least with every other interval? Because my experience of working with other agencies has been unsatisfactory, to say the least. And I'd like to keep an eye on what we're doing with the hub and whether it is an advantage to us over the forthcoming months.
Who would like to pick that up?
So there is a big program of monitoring, and that probably what we didn't say was government have put in quite a lot of funding to set up, so there are additional posts. It's being hosted by Norfolk, and I have worked in, I guess, bigger groups like this. We used to have consortium in adoption and regional groups in fostering, so this feels more akin to that idea, where it's a way of pooling resources and sharing best practice. The focus here is on having this hub, the porch, but we're reporting back to DfE about this as well, and so I think there's quarterly reporting. So it feels like it is being well scrutinised, and of course there's an implementation working group. There are various boards, but each organisation will have its own part in that working group. And you know, I guess we can, I don't know how appropriate it is to feedback to this group, but we can certainly sort of update you if that would be helpful.
Supplementary, please, Chair. I would, although I won't be here, I would really support the idea of reporting back annually, because of my fears and concerns about previous cooperations with other authorities, which has been to our detriment.
Abby, what do you? I'm John.
I'm happy to support that. Going forward, I would expect that our recruitment activity would be outlined in the annual fostering report that we're required to bring to corporate parenting. My suggestion would be that we would include the arrangements for the recruitment of carers and their route into the service within the body of that report.
Thank you.
Will that suffice?
Yes, that reassures me a little.
Thank you. Yep. Point made and taken. Okay. Any further questions on item 4? Okay. And as there are no hands raised, could I ask members to note the content of the report? And we'll move on to the next agenda item, if we will, please. Okay, item 5, participation update from the Children in Care Council. Shalina, you're flying solo, yes? So,
yes, I am. Thank you, Chair.
Please present.
You all have had the report, and I have a few highlights I want to bring to your attention. The first is in relation to 4.3. So our engagement activities for the half term were completed last week. We had lots of excellent feedback on the activities, which included bushcraft and climbing. And luckily the weather held up for us as well. We've shared the dates for the Easter or holiday activities, and we've also confirmed the date for the annual awards. So in consultation with carers and with children, we've gone for a date in the May half term. I'm hoping you all will have received an invitation, but if you haven't, please do just email me or the team and we'll make sure we get an invitation to you. My next highlight is in relation to 4.10. So in terms of the young trainers and their training resources they've been creating, we have two videos within the report which you're aware of, and we have another video in progress right now. One of our young people has written a very beautiful short poem about what it feels like to be entering a new home and settling into that new home, and we're just working with the animators. It's been recorded, the audio's done, working with the animators, and we're looking forward to bringing that to you and publishing that in the coming months. Finally, I mentioned this in the informal, but I wanted to mention it again in this report and in this meeting, that our chair of Peterborough Care Leaders, our young inspectors and our Children Care Council will be receiving civic awards in the upcoming ceremony, which is next week. So congratulations to them for all the hard work they do and continue to do for all children in care. Thank you. Those are my highlights, but I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you, Shalina. I don't recall receiving a date. If it has been confirmed, can somebody just do that for us so we get it minuted? If I've overlooked it, forgive me. But is this the event that normally takes place in August? Okay.
So you should have something in your diary for May, but it hasn't got the poster on it yet. I'm going to add the poster and it maybe will look more like the awards.
Okay.
Then.
31st of May. Okay. So dates for your diary, folks. It's been lovely to see you along. Councillor Cole, I'm going to come to you because I'm presuming you want to put your question now. Is there anybody else
For you, Chair, the Civic Awards is on the 5th of March next week. That's for the Civic Awards.
That's the Civic Awards. We're talking now about the Children in Care Awards, 31st.
But yeah. My question is about the training. You heard me say it before. About the inclusivity, equality and diversity training. And would that be something that, as the young carers
it's from the foster carer's side, we do training on this already, but additional training is always welcome. If it could go into our standard training, which hopefully we'll get updates on ready from April, yes, people will sign up, I'm quite sure.
Okay, yes. Yeah, happy. Councillor Allen, please.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry.
I think you were slightly, you won by a short head there, David, so. That's right, yeah, but just by a short head, so, you know, I'll let you fight it out between you, which is, you know, yeah, that's right. See, David, please go first. I think you were first.
Just a very quick one, but in your talk, did you mention witchcraft?
Bushcraft.
Just to be very clear, bushcraft.
I was just puzzled for a minute.
We haven't had any feedback from children about witchcraft so far.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, we're coming from near Pendle Hill.
Mother Demdike rides again. Oh dear, Councillor Allen.
Thank you, Chair. Shalina, I was just thinking about participation, the youth club. I don't think we've ever had any figures about attendance and about engagement, and just wondered what are the numbers? Where is the youth club? Is it different age groups? And is it different children attending half-term events, or is it the same children that would attend those as the youth club?
We have 10 young people attending the youth club. It's on a fortnightly basis. It's within Peterborough. For our half-term events and our other engagement events, it's normally different young people. The youth club is ages 8 to 12, so we're hoping to launch very soon a teen zone for the older young people, have cooler activities in a youth club style, and we're looking to do our first one of those in the Easter. We normally find that the engagement activities really depends on what the activity is. So we've had art sessions, for example, a very different group to when we have an outdoor activity, and again, a very different group to when we have, for example, a drumming workshop. So we're just taking feedback from our young people and from carers on the kind of activities, and we're hoping to engage everyone through those.
So 10 doesn't sound very much, and I appreciate that's the younger children, and I would, you know, the teens, which we know are more likely to go missing or to perhaps, you know, they're not doing as well in school. I just think that the teen youth club is a really important piece of work, and I'd love to see something come back here to tell us what that active, you know, how that's looking. Please.
Sure. I mean, those activities that participation put on are all around getting feedback from our young people to improve services. So if there are issues around missing, etc., perhaps it's differently targeted. We have had 10 young people for quite some time in the youth club. We did start off, I think, last year with probably around 5 or 6. It is fortnightly. And it's whether carers can bring them to it, whether they're interested in it, it's after school. But because of the 10 that we have, it's important to continue. But yes, it's a small number, and all of our groups have small numbers in it, but together make up quite a large number of young people who engage with us to give us their views in some way.
Yep. Councillor Bisby, please.
Yeah, just to go on about that, the youth club used to actually invite councillors to it, and I know that you went and I went at the same time, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was really inspiring work that they were doing at the time. So, if you ever get a chance to be invited, then it's worth going to see what they're doing.
Thank you. Anything else? Lucy.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask really what the additional forecast for provision for the separated migrant children is, and what we'd thought around youth clubs or emotional health and wellbeing for that group of young people who may find it more difficult to enter into that formal youth club setting. So I just wanted to know if there was a plan for development over the next year.
I'm having a whisper in my ear that it's members that normally ask questions, but
I think
it's a valid question. No, I don't take that, but, you know, like I say, it's a valid question. Somebody would like to pick that up, that would, you know, but that's the sort of protocol normally, that's no all. So sorry, I get it in the air if you don't.
Well, it's great to be able to give an update on that, actually, because we have a separated migrant children focus group, which has been, which was established last year. We're having activities specially for them, so in light of their own feedback. So just last week, we had a football activity with POSH. Football is definitely the preference at the moment with this group. They also attended, so they're not catered for separately, as in they can come to any activity they want. But at the football activities where they discussed their feedback. We also had quite a number of separated migrant children attending our Easter activities, our February activities, and signed up for some Easter activities as well.
It's okay. Thank you, Shalina. Councillor Cole.
Hello. In terms of the activities that you provide, are there specific groups for specific cultural groups of children? Because I know that some children attend groups at mosques and churches and things like that to try and engage a wider range of children to access those groups. Would there be scope to support children if they've come from out of county to continue with learning about their faith and religion? Is that something that is a part of the youth club group scheme?
So I'm just trying to think of the remit of participation, like I said, engaging with our young people to get views, to ensure those views are then heard and acted on. So I'm not seeing the overlap with your suggestion. I'm sure it's something that can be looked at, but I don't think, it perhaps as wider youth voice, it wouldn't be necessarily participation, from my understanding.
Glenn.
We'll just say that is a core part of the fostering, that we support any areas of cultural backgrounds and their needs.
Thank you. Anything else before I ask a question? Shalina, can I ask on 4.7, the participation online discussion, and it said another one took place in December, another one planned for half term. Did it actually take place, and if so, what was the outcome?
No, it didn't take place. We had cancellations, people who asked for a different date. So we're going to go for one in the Easter. What we found is online is much less popular than it used to be. We do like to still advertise online opportunities, and we want to be able to have feedback from everybody. But yeah, we're finding a decline in interest in online activities. And then when we have found people who are out of area, they want a one-to-one discussion with one of our team, which we're doing separately anyway and getting feedback that way.
Okay, I was going to say, if it's out of area, that's going to be harder to facilitate, but you're doing it through a one-to-one.
Yes, we even offer visits if needed. So when we have someone out of area who wants to engage with us and give us their feedback, we'll have a conversation. If they want us to visit them face-to-face, we'll do that. Because we do want that information, and that feedback from our out-of-area young people also feeds into the feedback loop report, which goes to senior management and is acted on as well. So we don't lose any of that feedback, even if it's a one-to-one.
Brilliant. Thank you. Can I just one other thing, if I may, raise 4.9, the young inspectors completed their interviews with professionals and corporate parents on the promise to children in care. I mean, I think that was... You did it. We did it. And how are we doing on it? And, you know, when are we going to see the results? It was fascinating.
So the young inspectors have put together a draft set of posters. So they want to have each promise has a different poster with quotes that they received from professionals. In the meantime, they've been planning their return to Cherry Lodge, and they're prioritising that. So this is very much about them creating it, we're doing it on their timelines.
You okay?
You just stole my thunder. There you go.
1-0. All right, thanks. Thank you. Are there any more questions or comments? If not, can I ask everyone to And thanks, Shalina, and we'll note the contents of the report. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, item six, the annual corporate parenting report. Can I ask John and or Michaela to present this to us, please?
So here you have our annual corporate parenting report from 2022-23, somewhat delayed, we're aware of that. It's the first time it's been produced in this way. The author used the local government advice framework as a template to evaluate our effectiveness and to structure and design the content. So any feedback on that would be welcome. And it provides an evaluation of the work completed with our children in care and care leavers, and it's matched to the seven principles, the corporate parenting principles. So happy to take any questions on the report.
Thank you, Michaela. Just an observation from me. I think the structure of it is quite good. There's a flow to it. You can actually follow it through and, makes a handy check. But any other comments or questions? Councillor Allen, please.
I'm not sure if you should be answering this because it's probably more tailored with the virtual school, but it suggests in the report that the PEP plans are working well, and yet we've got 35% of children leaving school and not in work. So I'm just wondering, from a quality assurance point of view, are we actually evaluating those PEP plans? Because we should be foreseeing that there's quite a number of children that are going to be left as neat. Or is it that the percentage that's coming up here have never actually been in school, they've come into care later, and they've not actually gone through our education system? So I'm just wondering if there's a distortion of information.
I'm happy to start, definitely, but feel free. I think the data in here, the PEP plan, is that they have a plan. I don't think previously we've been looking at quality well enough, and that is actually, we've got a new head teacher of a virtual school, and that is very much what she's looking at now.
Right.
The quality of it. So you're exactly right. It's one thing having a plan, isn't it? But it needs to be preventing our children and young people being neat in later life. So I think you raise a really interesting point there.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. Any other comments, questions, or observations, if I may? No? Okay. In which case, as there are no more raised hands, can I ask members agree to note the contents of the report? Thank you. And to be presented to scrutiny next month on the 11th of March to the Children Educating Scrutiny Committee. Yep. Okay. Thank you very much indeed. Item 7, the annual health report. Tessa, can I ask you to take the floor, please?
I'll just talk about the highlights, as there's lots of information that Katie wrote the report, so she's the designated nurse in the ICB. But I've always supplied her with the data. So looking at initial health assessments, we aim to see young people within 20 working days of them coming into care. Obviously, the figures don't look great. We have children, Peterborough Local Authority children in care placed within Peterborough, and we have those that are placed outside of Peterborough. Our team will request those out of area, and we will chase those, but we're not able to prioritise our children over other children that have been requested in that area. For those that are completed with our team in Peterborough, there are lots of factors why they might not be seen within the 20 working days. Some of it more recently is because we've had a greater demand of initial health assessments. I mean, there's some figures here for children coming into care, but also an increase over the years of separated migrant children, and the separated migrant children need a longer time for their health assessments, so that obviously takes a lot more pediatrician time, because we have the interpreters and the additional health needs that we need to talk with them about. So pediatrician capacity is one of the reasons why we can't always see young people within time frame, but there are other reasons. Sometimes we're not always able to get the paperwork from social care, although that that is improving all the time, and we're currently working in partnership with social care to have a pathway for the front door teams as well as the children in care teams about what's expected when they're referring for an initial and a review health assessment and the information we need to be able to work forward with that. But also, we understand, that foster carers they might have lots of other meetings when a child's just come into care, so they might not always be able to make the appointments that we offer. We only have initial health assessment clinics on a Wednesday and a Thursday, so it might not always be appropriate for them. And for review health assessments, we see 72% within time frame. Again, some of the reasons that we might be that we try and prioritise those young people taking GCSEs to offer after-school appointments, but we only have a limited amount of after-school appointments. And again, it's trying to match the right times for the foster carer and the young people, and also sibling groups as well, when we want to try and see them in the same clinic. And again, we do request a lot of review health assessments out of area, but again, we know actually, even though our figures don't always look great, that actually a lot of the other areas we're doing better than they are. There's a lot of capacity issues in lots of areas in the country. But we also see young people that are placed in Peterborough from other local authorities, and we've had an increase in requests for other young people that are here but not under Peterborough Local Authority. The one really good bit of news is around the dental access, which you would have all seen, and we've talked about that quite a few times in this forum. Only 6% of Peterborough Local Authority children living in area have not seen a dentist in the last year, which is a significant improvement in the last year since the Bushfield Dental Practice has been seeing our children in care. And we also know that even though it's not been a formal agreement, that Rightwell East at Breton will see the majority of our separated migrant children, which is brilliant as well. So we've not had such an issue around dentists, which is good. Welcome. Any questions?
Thank you, Tessa. Before we move to questions, just if members weren't aware, Kirsty Knight, councillor who helped us find Bushfield Dental Practice, myself, and, well, it should have been Gary Jones. Gary wasn't here at the time. We signed a letter and we took it down to them, and they were absolutely thrilled to bits. They wouldn't have a picture taken because these units of dental health, they have to weave some magic, shall we just say, on that. So, but they were absolutely delighted with, and a big up for Bushfield Dental Practice and indeed the dental practice in Rightwell if they're taking the separated migrant children. That's really good news. I am taking questions. Councillor Bisby has his hand up. Councillor Cole has a hand up. Anybody else? Councillor Howard. So we'll take it in that order, if I may, please. Councillor Bisby.
Yeah. With the MMR vaccines that are in Peterborough not that good, how are we within our children that are in care and care leavers, how are we making sure that everybody is covered? Because there are some horrendous things that come out of that if they don't. So yeah. Where are we? Are you keeping that register? Are you checking with them?
Yeah, so I haven't got specific numbers on that. However, for the under fives we see every 6 months and the over fives we see every year, and immunisations are something that we are really hot on when we see young people. But we also have been getting emails from social workers in between, because they're aware of each child that they see on a six-weekly basis and whether they've had their MMR vaccine. And we've pointed them in the right direction of there's some drop-in clinics at the school immunisation team are offering drop-in clinics, and so they'll provide me with those dates, and we're sharing those with social workers and foster carers for those that maybe missed those vaccines in school or prior to coming into care. Then we're encouraging the uptake of those. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Cole.
Through you, Chair. You're saying that there's been a large increase of separated migrant children. Is there a certain percentage that we're allowed to take? Are we over it? And what happens if we do go over that percentage?
I'll let Michaela answer that question, because I know that there was a cap. There was a cap, but I think it might have increased.
Yes. So the government mandated local authorities to participate in the national transfer scheme. The requirement is 0.1% of child population, which is about 52 children. We're not at that level yet because obviously children turn 18, so we will be approaching that very, very soon. In terms of what happens then, two things. So given that there are other local authorities who are not at their 0.1, effectively we'd come off the rota for a period of time. But I think there'll be a political decision for this administration to make as to whether or not it wish to support separated migrant children at an additional level. We receive a grant from central government regarding the costs associated with looking after children who've sought asylum or separated in some way over. And in addition, I'm going to stop there because I've lost my train of thought. So I think that answers your question, Kate. Okay, to Councillor Cole.
Yes.
I think it's also helpful to capture that we have raised and submitted figures back to Katie in relation to the number of children we're seeing and why we extend. So normal initial health assessment would be 60 minutes, but we extend that to 90 because of the journey those children have been through and the time they need to have that space, and also the interpretation of that journey needs longer. So we've submitted those figures to say that although there is additional money that is attributed to the local authority, it isn't represented in care, in healthcare. So what we need to do is reflect that, and hence that would support us seeing more children within that 20-day period that we need to from a statutory perspective. So, yeah.
And I also wanted to say, in regards to the increase, and you'll see some of the figures here, that actually for Peterborough Local Authority children, we haven't seen a significant increase, but what we've seen is a significant increase in separated migrant children living in Peterborough. So we, in health, we know that a high proportion of separated migrant children that are placed, that are under Cambridge or Lincolnshire local authority, are placed in Peterborough, and that might be because we've got more care providers that support separated migrant children, but that obviously then puts extra pressure on health services. And we also know that a lot of college places are filled up by Christmas, and then young people are having to wait till the next September because those college because there's more demand on those college places as well.
Thank you, Tessa and Lucy. John, do you want to come in on that, please?
Yeah, I think it's more fundamental than that. I think it's very closely linked to the price of property.
Yeah, pick it up.
Just to ask that is, as foster carers, are you given additional support if, for your group with separated migrant children?
I've not had direct contact with anyone who's had these people, but so I can't honestly say whether they're getting extra support.
Yes, they do. I mean, there are most separated migrant children probably wouldn't be with foster carers, actually. They would be in the provision, but there is additional training, additional mentoring.
Tessa.
Generally under 16s, when they arrive in the UK, will be placed with foster carers, and those that I'm aware of that are Peterborough Local Authority young people, they're placed in specialist placements with the right ethnic match in London or Luton tends to be where that, so I'm assuming that they've had the right training for that, but also, you know, a lot of the care providers in Peterborough that offer semi-independent provision for the 16 to 18-year-olds do seem to have that specialist training around meeting the religious and ethnic needs.
Thank you, Dr. Aslam. Please, you come in on that one. That means we've had the whole collection then of everybody along the side asking. You know, we just need Michaela to chip in with something and then we'll be fine. And we'll come to John Gregg next.
Chair, Tessa has mentioned quite a lot of reasons why there is a delay in the initial health assessments, and this has been a problem for a number of years. So I wonder whether it might be helpful from the councillor's perspective if we could write to the ICD.
Dr. Aslam, can I actually, first of all, could you bring your mic down, and Tessa, can you turn your mic off, please?
I wonder whether it might be beneficial from you know, corporate parent perspective to write to the ICB and ask what are they doing about it.
How do we feel about that, folks? Yes? Good plan. John, would you like to come in there?
Sorry, two comments to respond to. So the first point I would like to make is that it would not be the standard practice of this authority to place its separated migrant children in Luton or in London. It's true to say that we do have children placed in both those localities, but that's usually where we believe their needs are best met, or on occasions where they've specifically asked to be placed based on connections that they may have already. It is the absolute ambition of this authority to place its looked after children, our children in care, locally with local carers who are best able to meet their needs. But the national landscape that supports that is contrary to that, because as you've heard tonight, we do have an influx of children from other local authorities being placed into the city, which places additional stress on the system and is a challenge. But there are circumstances where, in a minority of cases, that is appropriate. In respect of the question regarding correspondence to the ICB, this matter was raised at the Children's Improvement Board last Wednesday, of which the chief nurse and lead for children from the ICB sits on it and makes. And presented a report. So whilst it wouldn't hurt to write to the ICB, I just wanted to assure committee members tonight that the ICB are well cited on it. And I'll pause at that point.
I think that's a very reasonable point, because there is just a little bit of distance between what's happening on the improvement board, or a lag between what's happening here. So, you know, to use John's phrase, it's there. We do have sight of it. I think those who are on the improvement board, it is not being left. It is actually, you know, it is in plain sight. Is that okay? Are we happy at this stage that we don't write, given the information that John's just given us, just for the duplication of effort? You know, you may, like I say, you may not be cited on it, but it isn't. It is in sight, and it is being picked up by Carol Anderson, isn't it? As much as anything. So, okay, is that okay with everybody as we stand? And Councillor Howard, I think you wanted to. Finally, we'll get round to you.
Chair, I've got a tough act here. How do I follow that? I don't know if this question will get everyone as animated, but I'll try. My question was about the consent and referral for the initial health assessments. And I'm just wondering, it just seems one of those things where there must be an easier way to do it, you'd hope. Can it be a more natural, automatic induction that the consent and referral was initiated as soon as a child comes into the system? Because, to be honest, the figures aren't bad, because within 10 working days, most of them are submitted. But it just feels like anything that would make that easier would be a good thing. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think it is the aim for social workers when a child first comes into care to get the relevant paperwork completed. But I understand that there is lots and lots of paperwork. And if a child comes into care under a Section 20, which is voluntary care, it's then having the right time for them to get the consent signed by the birth parent. So, and often, particularly if it's a large sibling group, sometimes there's delays there, because I think, you know, there's a lot of expectation on the social workers when a child first comes into care. But obviously, Michaela, you'd probably be able to tell us a bit more, because there's a lot, isn't there, that social workers have to complete.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tessa, but also I take your point, we need to help them be more organised in making sure this stuff gets done. So that's a job of us as leaders, really, to make sure that the system's working for our social workers, and that's something that we're trying to do.
And also, we're working with the pathway that I mentioned earlier for IHAs and RHAs, because also what we're hoping to do is tighten up on the processes, but also be able to gain valuable information ahead of our paediatricians seeing a child. For example, an MB form, which is the maternal and birth forms,
and also parental health, the history, that helps us longer term to look after the young people and have an insight into their background. And also the other thing that we're looking at as well that can sometimes delay assessments when we request out of area is some out of area teams won't accept the initial consent when a child comes into care as an enduring consent. For future health assessments, they want a new consent, which we then have to go back to the social worker. But Michaela and myself and Katie are currently working on a new consent form that says enduring consent. Unless the legal status of the child changes, we're happy to accept the initial consent as a rolling consent, but not all areas do. So.
Happy?
Yeah.
You got the quality of response, but not the quantity, John. So we must do better. Note to self. Okay, are there any more hands, questions, comments raised? In which case, would you be kind enough to note the contents of the report, please? Thank you. Okay, item 8, performance report. Michaela, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. So there's the usual report alongside the scorecard, which I don't propose to read through, but there were some additional details that were requested last time on the adoption data. So I have included those, more of an update on those this time, and hopefully it shows you that despite the decline in performance, it is a positive story for some of our children. But happy to take any questions at all on the scorecard. It is actually the scorecard that we thoroughly investigated when we all met last week, so there might not be too many questions tonight. But yeah.
Yeah, for those of you, if you didn't manage to meet the training, then you missed a treat. It was very, very good indeed. And I'd thoroughly recommend it, even if you've only got a passing interest. And thanks to Imran and yourself for last week. It was really, really good. Questions from members, if you please. It wasn't that good. Obviously, clearly it was. Anybody? No, we're happy, or we've seen the information. Michaela, you've done it. You've got off. Congratulations, mission accomplished. I've not known that before. Now, okay. Thank you. In which case, will everybody be kind enough to thank you, Michaela? And if there's no more hands, agree to note the contents of the report. Thank you. Item 9, members' issues. This agenda item is designated for those members who are not part of the course Corporate Parenting Committee membership yet hold corporate parenting responsibilities to raise any issues they have regarding the services provided to children in care. Has anybody got any questions? I shan't hold my breath. Sorry? No, it's all right, red herring. Okay, no problem. I'm not holding my breath, in which case we'll pass over that, and in almost record time. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I bring this meeting to a close. Before I do, I'd like to thank officers and members, past and present, for their participation in this most important of committees. The next meetings will be held as agreed at annual council, scheduled for the 20th of May. It only remains for me to wish you success if you're seeking re-election, and a peaceful and happy life if you're not. In any event, have a good summer and a safe journey home. Thank you and goodbye.